Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I did a series on this a couple of years ago, and this week the Lord kind of began to bring, you know, sometimes I know it's the Lord because then people will say something or you'll hear the same verse, you know, is one of those confirmation things. And so anyway, this morning we're going to talk about running the race. When I say running the race, you know, we're talking about the Christian life, amen, is compared to a race. And you know, you learn over the years as a Christian that being a Christian is not always easy. Can I get an amen on that? In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain." You know, the reason we are living for God is there is a crossing of a finish line one day. Amen? We've all seen races, you know, we watch the Olympics, the track runners and everything, and they got that ribbon stretched across, and that person runs, and they lift their arms, and they break the ribbon, you know, and they get the gold or the silver or the bronze. The Christian life is not a 50-yard dash. It's not a 100-meter run. It's a marathon, brother. It's a marathon. It's a long, long-distance run. It's an endurance run. It's one of those kind of races that you get tired and you can get weary at times, but you got to keep on going. Amen. It's one of those things where sometimes you hurt. How many guys have ever ran for long distances and your side hurt? You've been in the military, you know what that's like, right? When I was in basic training in the Air Force, San Antonio, Texas, Lackland Air Force Base, they would get us up, you know, before sun up. And we'd do leg lifts and, you know, push-ups and all that. And then after that, they called them the Lackland Laser. It was those little flashlights with the colored cone on the ends, you know. And we'd go out and we would, in our combat boots and fatigues, double time laps around this thing. And, you know, and sides hurting, you know. You can't stop. Got to keep going. When we watch people race, you know, they got a guy with a pistol. The firing of the pistol, you know. Go! Well, for us, the race begins when we become a believer. When we say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died for my sins and rose again. And according to God's Word, I become a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ. That's when I begin the race that's set before me. I run to obtain. I do not run in vain. I run because there is a finish line. I run because there is a prize. I run because God has something for me out there. And so I run the race. Now, is it possible to run in vain? Well, Galatians 2:2 tells us how Paul had went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles. But he said, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should have run or had ran in vain. And what he was talking about was that there was Jews. You know, the first church was pretty much made up of nothing but Jews. And then Paul began to take the gospel to the Gentiles. But up to that point, most of them were all Jews. And even though they had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it was really hard for them to just totally ignore everything they've been taught, you know, about eating pork and about the Sabbath and all these things. I mean, it was a cultural thing. And so he did not want to offend them. You know, the Bible teaches that if eating the meat offends my brother, I don't eat my meat in front of them, certain meat, for conscience sake, because we care about their conscience. Sometimes people have been in church for years but quit going because someone offended them. And so we are told that we are to have a conscience void of offense before God and man. And so Paul here is saying that he went up and he preached to the Gentiles, but then he went over privately, separately from the Gentiles, to preach to the Jews because they couldn't handle putting Jews and Gentiles together. He said, lest I ran in vain. In other words, everything I did was for nothing. And wouldn't that be terrible to start out running this Christian life and realize that somewhere along the lines, the things I've been doing was for nothing because I didn't do it the way God would want me to do it. And so we have to not only run the race, but we have to run it by God's standard. Amen. Philippians 3:14, Paul tells us, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I press on. When my side hurts in long distance running, I press on. When I was in junior high, I was trying to figure out what my niche was. You know, guys always go into sports, or a lot of guys do. I later on in life became a tennis player, but in junior high, I hadn't quite figured out what my niche was. And so my coach said, well, why don't you go out for long distance running? Well, I really wasn't built for long distance running. I was thin back then, but most of those guys are tall too. You know, get the big long slinky legs, and they can run two strides to every one of mine. But anyway, I went in long distance running. And you know what? Sometimes we can make up for our shortcomings by just being stubborn. Amen. And I was determined if I was going to do this thing, I was going to finish. Because that's what running is. On long distance running, you don't run to stop, you run to finish. Amen. And so they had us practice around the junior high school ground running these huge laps. It was a pretty large campus, about 5 laps we would run every day practicing for this long distance citywide heat. And then came the day of the citywide heat, and I can't remember where it was at. I want to say it was Hale. I can't remember what high school in Tulsa it was. But anyway, there was hundreds and hundreds of junior high kids in this long distance marathon race. And I thought our school ground was big. This one was twice as big. We had to run like 5 laps around this thing. Now, about lap number 3, there's guys laying on the side there, holding their side. And some of them even threw up, you know. And we started out with hundreds and hundreds of these guys running. And I remember my side hurting. I remember wanting to quit. I remember my legs feeling like they were jelly, you know, just your muscles hurting. But I said, I got to finish this thing. I may not be one of the tall guys. I may not finish first place, but I got to finish this race. And you know, in our Christian life, we got to be determined. No matter what the devil throws up, no matter how much pain comes our way, no matter how hard sometimes it is, I got to finish this race. I didn't start this thing to stop. I got in this thing for the long haul. I'm going to finish this race. Well, out of those several hundred kids, I finished 17th. I got in the paper, yeah, because what I didn't have in my physique, I had in here. I'm going to finish the race. And I'm here to tell you, you know, no matter what the devil throws at you, you can win the race that God has put in your life if you just have that stubborn, I'm going to keep on keeping on. You know, my first pastor, Pastor Sam Mayo, used to say, keep on keeping on, and when you can't keep on, keep on a little longer. I mean, how many of you guys ever heard that before? Keep on keeping on, and when you can't keep on a little longer. But you don't know what he's done to me, but you don't know what she said, but you don't know my sickness, or you don't know my depression. Keep on keeping on, and when you can't keep on a little longer. You're almost at the finish line. The finish line is inside. I've seen the headlines. We are almost there. Run the race to finish. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm pressing on. How many of you guys saw what my rocket had on the fins? Higher ground. A fellow by the name of Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote the great old hymn, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on Canaan's table land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay, though some may dwell where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the sound of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till rest I've found. Lord, lead me on the higher ground. As we are running this Christian life, that should be our goal. We're not running to find the easy way out. We're not wanting to coast downhill. Sometimes it takes effort to get to higher ground. Sometimes we got to put it in overdrive to run a little bit harder to gain that higher ground in our Christian walk. And that's what God is wanting us to be. We're not looking for the easy way. We're looking for the God way. Amen. We're not looking for the simple way. We're looking for the spiritual way. We're not looking for the hand, give me a handout way. We're looking for, let me bless you way. Amen. The Bible says you shall lend and not borrow. And as we, the saints on higher ground, are living for the Lord, God has called us to run a race with patience and to be a giver, to be a obtainer, to take higher ground. Amen. So what is the condition for my race? Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so we understand that just as people who have a physical race, whether they're preparing for the Olympics or whatever it is, or you're just preparing for a high school, junior high school meet, there is a conditioning that has to take place before the great event. Amen. And Paul said that the people who run this race have to lay aside the sin and the weights of the world, the weight and the sins, because we're in a race. Amen. How many of you know that if you got a lot of weight on you, it's a lot harder to run, right? And so he said, lay aside the weight and sins that so easily beset us. And what are some of these spiritual weights? Well, they're cares of the world. There's things like your jobs and your bills and your health and your relationships. And you know, you say, well, we can't not have bills. We can't not have jobs. No, you can't not have them, but you cannot let them have you. Amen. You cannot let them weigh you down. You say, well, how do you do that? You shake it off and make the devil take it back. You set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. You keep your eyes on Jesus regardless of what's happening down here, because you got a race to run and you're going to finish it. Amen. And so you set aside the cares of the world. And then he also said not only weights but sin. Sin means missing the mark. Amen. The word came from the old English, missing the mark, the arrow, the guy shooting the arrow at the bullseye, but it hit a little lower. You miss the mark. You know, there's a difference between sin and some of the other words that the Bible uses, because sin means, you know, for a Christian, it means I'm trying to live for God. I just sometimes slip. I sometimes miss the mark. I'm trying to do the right thing, but, you know, like Paul said, things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. I miss the mark. That's what sin is. And when we sin, we're out of God's will. And the weights and the sins bring discouragement. How many of you guys have ever done something you wished you had, or maybe you said the wrong thing? The next thing that happens, Satan's right there, isn't he? You call yourself a Christian, and look what you did. And so immediately these weights and sins bring discouragement and depression. And then when those come, what do you want to do? You want to quit. You want to give up. You want to throw in the towel. That's the equivalent spiritually to the hurting side for the marathon runner. Amen. It's when you're hurting spiritually, you want to quit. You get discouraged. You don't want to go on. But Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. It's what it's all about. It's about not giving up, because the reward is coming. Amen. Now, you know what? I can live from payday to payday sometimes, you know. Sometimes I have more money left over, sometimes I have no money left over. Amen. But the reason I don't just quit is because I know, you know, as long as I keep doing my job, every couple weeks there's another payday coming. Amen. And so sometimes that's all we live for, you know. You say, well, you know, what are you doing? I'm waiting till payday, right? Give me some of that money, you know. And so for a Christian, Jesus is payday, amen. To see him face to face. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. Walk on streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Fears all past. Home at last. Ever to rejoice. What a day that's going to be. That's payday. That's the finish line. And so we're not weary in well-doing because we know that in due season, payday's coming if we don't quit, if we don't faint, if we don't lose heart, if we don't throw in the towel, if we don't quit like others. You know what? Nobody said Christianity was easy. You know, anyone who tries to be a true Christian and live for the Lord knows that it's not easy. Sometimes it's hard. But you know what? Nothing that has value is ever easy. And if everybody could do it, this church would be full. So the next time the devil's picking on you, remind him, I'm one of the people's in the blue chair, not outside. I'm one of the ones here. I'm one of the faithful ones. I'm still holding on. I'm going to finish this race. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what backslidden preachers say. I'm in this thing for the winning, crossing the finish line. Amen? So we do not get weary in well-doing, for we know that in due season we will reap if we faint not. Now, of course, that word reap refers not to necessarily race, but it refers to the harvest, doesn't it? And of course, it's the same thing. It's an event that's coming, but isn't here yet. Amen? There is seed time and there is harvest. It's the same thing. The farmer has to work. He can't till the soil and not pull the weeds and the rocks and not plant and not water and then expect a harvest. Well, you can't expect to cross a finish line if you quit running. Amen? You got to keep running the race. Because there is a harvest time, there is a finish line, there is a ribbon to be broken, there are victories to be won, there are souls to be won. We're still in the race. We've still got a job to do. Let's just keep running. Amen? Let's keep on keeping on. Let's not give up. Now is not the time to quit. Now's the time to put it in overdrive. Amen? I can see the finish line. It's not that far away. Let's keep running the race with patience. Hallelujah. Luke 21:19, in your patience, you possess your soul. One of the things about that marathon race is you got to be patient. You can't start saying, are we there yet? Like the kids on the vacation, you know, when we had our kids little. Daddy, are we there yet? We just pulled out of the driveway. What are you talking about? You know, this race is going to take some time. There's going to be some hills. There's going to be some valleys. There's going to be some mountaintops. There's going to be some low, dark periods of time. This is not a quick race. This is a lifelong journey of running the race. And so I have to be patient. I have to be patient. You know what? We learn patience by running the race. You know, when I started out as a new Christian, oh my goodness, I was sprinting. I must have thought it was a 50-yard dash because I was sprinting like crazy. All my coworkers in the Air Force, Vince Shuler from New York, rock, the Bible says, making fun of me like I was a parrot. I was running the race, brother. But somewhere along the lines, I realized I got to keep doing what I'm doing, but I got to pace myself. You can't burn out, amen? You got to pace yourself because it's a long journey. It's a lifelong journey. And those that win finish the race. Amen. You know, D.L. Moody, one of my favorite evangelists, Dwight L. Moody, preached in Chicago in the 1920s. D.L. Moody would not let them write, I always get the words backwards, biography, autobiography, wouldn't let someone write his life story until he was dead. Because he said, how are you going to write my life story? I haven't crossed the finish line yet. And he understood the frailty of human flesh. Would to God that so many of these other guys that are tooting their own horn or writing their own biography before they've crossed the finish line have that understanding. You see, he knew I could have some bad thing happen. I could backslide. I could do this. And, of course, you can't imagine D.L. Moody backsliding. But he understood it's not over till I cross the finish line. Till I breathe my last breath, my life story is not written, and I'm in this thing for the long haul. Well, they have written biographies for me. They call him Mr. Moody. He was one of my favorite ones. And I just encourage you to find books like this and read on men. Read about their race and what they did and how they kept going and how they crossed their finish line and see what God can do with you. Amen. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You know, sometimes, and I said this Wednesday night, sometimes we think our faith is stronger than it is until some cataclysmic event happens. The death of a loved one, the loss of a job, a chronic illness, whatever the case would be. And you thought your faith was up here, and you realize it wasn't as high as you thought it was. Because in the day of adversity is when your faith is truly tested. And faith untested is not faith. And so when these adversities come, then if you faint, then you realize your faith was not as strong as you thought. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You're going to have strength to finish this race. Amen? You're going to have spiritual strength to finish this race. This race is not for the weak. This race is not for the timid. This race is not for the wishy-washy. Amen. This race is for men and women of God who are determined that no matter what happens, I'm going to live for Jesus. What was the name of this young girl in the Columbine shooting? Does anybody remember her name? Cassie. Who here believes in God? I do. Cassie crossed the finish line. Not all of us are going to leave that early in life. Some of us are going to be in it for a long haul. But whatever the price, we got to be in it for the long haul. We don't know when the next persecution may come. We don't know when someone's going to point a gun at you. You've got to be ready to give a man an answer for the faith that's in you. Amen. Now, Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 7, he said, you did run well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You see, sometimes people influence our race. Maybe they mean well. You know, they have those, me and a buddy of mine years ago, we went on the Walk for Mankind. It was a fundraiser they had in Tulsa. 20-mile walk. You get pledges for the walk. You know, nickel a mile or dime a mile money goes to a worthy cause. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I thought I was in shape. Have you ever walked 20 miles? Oh, my legs hurt. I was supposed to go to work at Sand Springs Pizza Hut that night. I wanted to call in. My mom said, you ain't calling in. You go to work. I was having muscle spasms in my legs. Walk for Mankind. But on the journey, they had people there that had water set up to give you water. And they'd say, do you want to sit down under the shade for a while? Now, see, they meant well. And I know they didn't want people to have a heat stroke. But, you know, you may have someone in this race called Christianity that tries to offer you an easy way. Amen? And Paul said, you ran well. Who hindered you? Maybe there's some guy there that's saying, oh, that old religious stuff. There's many roads to heaven. Oh, it doesn't matter. God is love. You can go this way. You can go that way. You ran well. Who hindered you? Who got you off course? Who persuaded you to turn from this simple faith in the cross to all this other goofy stuff? Amen? And here's a verse I put on Facebook this week. I know several people saw it, Jeremiah 12:5. God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he says, if you have ran with footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein you trusted, they wearied you. How then will you do in the swelling of Jordan? See, this is near the beginning of the book of Jeremiah. He's called Jeremiah to begin to proclaim to his people that God is getting ready to destroy his nation, that women and children are going to be dashed on the rocks because they've backslidden, and it's not a popular message. In fact, he was the only one given it. All the other prophets were preaching prosperity. Yea, I say unto you, you will be prosperous. Just like today. But God had one man warning a backslidden nation that judgment was coming. And he's saying like, wow, God, this is heavy. I don't know if I can do this. And he says to him, if you can't do this when things are good, how are you going to do it when things get bad? If you can't run with your peers, how are you going to run with horses that are galloping a lot faster? If you get weary at the good times, what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? Amen? And so in this Christian race, you have to understand, hey man, you think it's hard now, it's going to get a whole lot harder later. Suck it up and run the race. Suck it up and run the race. It may get a whole lot harder before it gets better. But there's a finish line coming. Hallelujah. You see, I read Hebrews 12:1 earlier, but we really need to read the two together. Seeing we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us and run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sit down at the right hand of God. So how do I do it? How do I suck it up? How do I endure hardness? How do I finish this race in spite of it? I keep my eyes on Jesus. And see, Jesus finished his race. The writer of Hebrews tells us, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen? You know, now you say, well, how could someone be a nail to a cross be a joy? Do you realize that some of the most painful things that you may go through as a Christian can be a joy when you keep your eyes on God? The three Hebrew children had to be called out of the fire because Jesus was in the fire with them. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter how deep your valley is, doesn't matter how hard the race is, if your eyes are on the Lord, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You're going to make it just fine. You can run this race. You can finish this race. God is going to help you, keeping your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Now flip with me back to Psalm 73. We're going to have to read this one because it's pretty long. We're talking about not getting discouraged in the race. In Psalm 73, the psalmist David said, truly God is good to Israel, to such as a pure heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. Well, if you're running a race, you don't want to trip and you don't want to fall, do you? He said, I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace, and violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than hearts could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression, and speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walk throughout the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. They say, how does God know? Is there any knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Then I said, I will speak thus. Behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought of how to understand this, it was too painful to me. Let's just stop right there. He said, here's a guy who's saying, I'm trying to run the race. I'm trying to live as a Christian. I'm trying to do what's right. And I started looking around, and I see these people who are cursing God and living a godless life, and they've got more money than me. They've got better houses than me. They never get sick. All their kids, everything's great. There's no dysfunctional families. It seems like it just doesn't seem fair, God. I don't understand. And I almost slipped. I almost quit running. I almost threw in the towel because it was so painful. I just couldn't bear to look at it. I didn't understand. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God. And then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places and cast them down to destruction. That's the text that Jonathan Edwards used in his sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. Surely you set them in slippery places. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terror as a dream when one awakens. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me into your glory. Amen. And so I understand, even if in this race called Christian life, and I'm running the race, and it seems like I'm in pain, and I'm hurting, and everybody else's life is great, and mine is painful, and it doesn't make sense, then when I remember that my end is the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, and their end is judgment, then I don't get my eyes on them. I don't get my eyes on what their life's like compared to mine. I keep my eyes on the Lord. I went into the sanctuary, and then I understood. Amen. Come on up, Nola. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's final letter before he was beheaded for his faith. He told his young protege, Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but to all of those also that love his appearing. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name. And you called us to run the race with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But I have to say, Lord, there's been some times in my life lately where I've been discouraged. If that's you and you need prayer this morning, slip your hand up right now. God bless you. Anybody else, God bless you. Lord, I've been discouraged. I want to finish the race. I want to finish the race. I want to run the race strong. But sometimes, Lord, I just get so discouraged, I want to quit. God, help me, I pray. Lord, I need your help this morning. Anybody else? Pray for me, Brother Rogers. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'd like to do something. Let's just stretch across the aisles and grab the hand of the person next to you. And I saw your hand. I'm going to pray for you, but rather than bring you up and maybe embarrass you, I just want to give everybody a chance to have a hand, and we're going to pray for one another. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that you called us to run a race. And I thank you, Lord, that we're running that race by faith, looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. I pray for those people that raised their hand this morning, Lord. Right now, in this chain of hands connected together, we pray that the anointing of the Spirit of God would begin to flow through these lines. As each of us lay hands on one another, Lord, we pray the anointing of the Spirit would just begin to lift those people that raise their hands. We pray, Lord, that they that wait upon you would mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Lord, we know that in our patience we possess our soul. And so we pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to be patient, looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, you wrote the book on faith. For the joy that was set before you, you endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set at the right hand of God. And so this morning, Lord, for the joy that's set before us, we're going to keep on running this race. We're going to run this race with patience. We're going to keep looking to you, Lord. We may not always understand it. We may not always, it may not make sense. We may get depressed, discouraged, Lord. We may want to quit, but we're going to keep on holding on. We're going to keep on keeping the faith, believing in you, knowing that, Lord, that the finish line is just ahead. So, Lord, we dedicate ourselves afresh to you today. We know, Lord, that no good thing will you withhold to those that walk uprightly. We ask you, Lord, to give us just an extra boost of energy to run and make it cross this finish line. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You got a song for us? Lord, you are precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are beautiful than diamond. Nothing I desire compares to you. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming.